got the recorder on.
Shut it off.
So did they have tables? He works so
fast. Testing. I guess it's back here. We're going to get started here in a minute, but you know, if you're still eating, you can stay in the fellowship hall. If you're done eating, come on into the sanctuary. Either place is just fine.
Red or blue?
And everything will be over with here by 6:45, in case you're wondering how long is this going to be. We'll be done before you know it.
6:30.
We're going to have a word of prayer together, and then it'll be request. Ryan, if you picked up one of these folders in the box before you came in, that would be great. And you can shout out the song that you want us to play tonight, or we'll sing it together. Thank you, Lynn, for coming. As Bob is gone, and you know he's thinking about this. He's probably in some restaurant down in Arizona. And then can we kind of start off with this last meeting. If you turn in the back of your folders, you'll find the song we usually sing out with to begin with. It's called "He Has Made Me Glad." So let's start by singing that together this evening. Then I'll pray after this one. Speak to our hearts tonight as only you make them speak to us, Lord. We pray in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, who's got a number or a song?
Four. 36.
Do you hear a four somewhere?
Thank you.
beautiful sand yard.
36.
You had to turn here, now you'll go back here. Okay, on this side?
36.
26 and 36, 52. We only have
36 is on the back of 35.
Okay, what number over here? 20. 20? Okay, right, it is. Just a closer walk with the. Is that the number 20. Just a closer walk with me.
Thank you.
36.
36.
36.
It's a,
36.
It's on the back page of 35.
Jesus, my Lord. It's got a 14 above it.
Actually, I was there, right? Did you try the right one?
Jesus is Jesus. And I don't know how this will go. Verses 1 through 15 for our message tonight, which is called The Verdict. You know what a verdict is? It's kind of after everyone has heard the witnesses, the jury then, or the judge pronounces the verdict. You know, what is it? Guilty or innocent? And that's kind of what he reads or says to those who are there. This will kind of put things in a little better perspective when we read from the scripture. Very early in the morning. Now, what is very early in the morning for you, Marshall?
Well,
yeah, it's a lot earlier than noon on Sunday. You wake up at noon, I don't know this, but here it says very early. It's very interesting. It says this: very early in the morning, the chief priests, with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin. The entire Sanhedrin, 72 men. That means who was there of those 72? Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. The whole Sanhedrin is here early in the morning. They reach a decision. Now, it doesn't mean that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea agreed with this decision, but they were just there. It says that they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. What do you think the chief priests accused Jesus of? Anybody? What do you think they accused him of?
Blasphemy.
What do you say up here?
Being bad? Yeah.
Jesus being bad? Well, listen. What else do you think were said about Jesus that was accusatory? Blasphemy is a good one. Being bad? I'm not sure that was there. But good guess. Anything else?
He was riling up the people.
Riling up the people? Okay, they probably would say that he was a leader of a riot in Jerusalem or someplace. Anything else?
He was forgiving sins, only God. Maybe overthrowing because the people thought he would be king, that he was going to overthrow the political.
Yeah, they would bring that up, saying that he says he's a king of the Jews, and therefore he's kind of political, and for Pilate to hear this, it would perk up his ears because he would say then that Jesus was kind of a ringleader and causing problems in Israel, which means for Pilate, if word got back to Rome and Pilate could not handle this, it would be Pilate's neck that he'd get in trouble for in Rome. He might even lose his job. Know that there's another king being proclaimed in the land. All right, let's just go on here. Pilate asked Jesus, aren't you going to answer what the chief priests are accusing you of? See how many things they are accusing you. But Jesus still made no reply. And Pilate was amazed that Jesus didn't say anything. He was quiet. Now, it was a custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Jesus was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. You know what an insurrectionist is? Have we heard that word lately? Insurrectionist. You want to go back to January 6th. Washington, D.C., they said there was an insurrectionist movement that took place, or insurrectionist men inside the Capitol building. And this, but Barabbas is a known insurrectionist who had committed murder in the uprising. So we know that Barabbas is someone who has killed or murdered another person, or who knows, maybe more. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate. Knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release, wouldn't you know, release Barabbas instead. What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews? Pilate asked them. And they shouted, crucify him! Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him! Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Wow. Lord, these words have been read and spoken and preached on over the years, over the centuries. We may even be here tonight and have heard this same scripture many times, and yet there might be some here that this is the first time they ever heard of it. Lord, draw us into what is taking place here, that we may learn something new, but most of all, that we will see that Jesus did everything here voluntarily. He knew what was going to happen. He's doing this for us as he's on his way to the cross. So may we draw close to him, and by the end of this evening, when the service is over, let me just say I'm just so thankful for a Savior that loved me as much as Jesus did here in the scriptures, and he loves me just as much today as he always has. May his love draw us to himself. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. What we find in our scriptures here is a man by the name of Pontius Pilate. He is a Roman governor, and he meets Jesus for the very first time. And so let me ask you this question. Why was Jesus taken to Pilate in the first place? Why did they take him to Pilate in the first place? Well, they want to get rid of Jesus. But remember, we've talked about this in the past, that the Jewish law only gave the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jewish people, capital punishment for them is only by stoning. To be crucified takes a Roman official. It has to be a Roman who pronounces or gives the go-ahead to have somebody crucified. And you've got the elders of the Jewish people, that anyone who was sentenced to capital punishment, they were the ones who were supposed to defend that person. Because it was a serious offense. But with Jesus, they just skipped that. They didn't do anything to defend him. They just believed what Caiaphas, the high priest, said. And Caiaphas said, you heard him. He said he was the Son of God. That's blasphemy. And so, In order for them to do what they really wanted to do to Jesus, they needed the help of another Roman, a Roman official, who would carry out what only they could do to Romans or to a Jewish person. We know that Jesus has already been tried once in the Jewish trial of the Sanhedrin, and he was guilty by them, but we'll get into more of this as we go on here. But do you remember the charge against Jesus by the Jewish people, by the Jewish leaders? What was his charge? Remember? I mean, Karen did say it. Blasphemy. And blasphemy is a capital offense by the Jews. Jesus said he was the Son of God. Now notice what Pilate asked the Jews that bring Jesus to him in John 18:30. Pilate says this, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" This is the first time that he meets Jesus. The Jewish leaders have brought Jesus to Pilate. And so Pilate just says, "So what are the charges against this man?" And their answer is this, "If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Now notice that they skirted the question, didn't they? They didn't really answer the question that Pilate asked. And Luke 23, verse 2, tells us some of the charges that the Jews gave to Pilate. They said, "We found this man subverting our nation." Basically, they're saying that Jesus has committed treason against our country. "He opposes paying taxes to Caesar." Is that true? It's not, because, you know, and so they asked him, "We come to paying taxes." He said, "Well, show me a denarius. Who's on the front of this coin?" And he said, "Well, that's Caesar. But give to Caesar what is Caesar, but give to God what is God." Now, there's nothing wrong with that statement. But this is saying he is basically opposing Caesar. And of course they could say, well, he claims to be the king. He is the Christ, claims to be Christ, the king. And so this would have got the Pilate's attention. That there is somebody who's going to be someone that he needs to keep a close eye on, that's going to stir up the people. What time of the year is this all going on? It's the Passover. There are thousands of people that come to Jerusalem at the Passover every year. And Jesus was speaking and teaching and preaching in the temple courts, and people were going to him to listen to him because they loved him. And what he said was always true. They gravitated toward this kind of a man. And of course they called him that he's a prophet from Nazareth. There was another message that got Pilate's ear that morning, and it was his wife. Now, you guys that are married have a wife. When she says something, you listen. Chuck, are you listening? Thanks, Donna. Thanks. And we have Pilate's wife goes to him. I know this is not in chronological order here. But she says, gives this message to her husband, Pilate. "Don't have anything to do with this innocent man. For I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." So she is telling her own husband, "He's an innocent man, have nothing to do with him." We find that in Matthew 27, verse 19. And so Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus responds back, "Yes. It is as you say." He doesn't say anything more after that, according to Matthew and to Mark. But under the Roman law, if an accused person, a prisoner, is silent, it signifies by Roman law that that person is guilty. So by Jesus not even saying anything, by Roman law, he's guilty. And if an accused man refused to defend himself, he was assumed to be guilty. And so we see both in Matthew and in Mark that Jesus made no reply to the Romans. He's guilty. Pilate is saying, you know, you're hearing all these accusations of people coming against you, opposing you. What are you going to say for yourself? Now, any normal person would give an excuse or defend themselves because they knew what was ahead of them. But with Jesus, he goes along with fulfilled prophecy. It's like a lamb goes to slaughter. He doesn't say anything. Because he knows that if he doesn't go to the cross and die on the cross, there's no salvation for us. We would never have our sins forgiven. Nor could they be forgiven unless he does this, because he's the perfect Lamb that's going to die for us. Pilate told to the crowd, he gave a message to the crowd. He says, I have a custom during this time of the year. Now Pilate is thinking about it. Here's his way out of this mess. I will release one prisoner at this time every year. And which one do you want me to release to you? Barabbas, who's a known murderer, a bad, who's definitely worth being in prison, and he's just a no good guy. I'm going to bring out Barabbas and Jesus. Of course, he's thinking in himself that the people are definitely going to go for Jesus because no one has anything against him, really, because they know him. But he underestimated the religious leaders and rulers who went amongst the crowd and said, hey, if the opportunity comes to choose between a prisoner and Jesus, you vote for the prisoner. You want Barabbas released. And if he says Jesus, you just yell out, crucify. And so Pilate did ask them, you want Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? And because Pilate knew that Jesus was handed over to him because the religious leaders were envious of him. They just didn't like the guy. People loved Jesus, and the religious leaders, the people could care less because they talked the talk, but they didn't walk the walk. So we find here that Pilate tried to free Jesus probably more than anyone else. He personally questioned Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? So that's what he's hearing. Jesus responded, it is as you say. He tried to send Jesus back to the Jews and saying, I don't want to get involved with the Jewish laws. You guys just take him back and do to what you want to do with him. But the Jews said, oh no, we brought him here to you. You decide what's going to happen to him. But Pilate tried to send Jesus back and not deal with the Jews. And he didn't like the Jews. But the Jews rejected having bringing Jesus back. Pilate did send Jesus to King Herod Antipas because King Herod, he was the ruler of that region of Galilee, the upper part of Israel, where Jesus' ministry was. He had never really met Jesus until this day. And it says here in the scriptures that this is the day that Pilate and King Herod became friends over this little thing. They never really did much together as leaders. But on this day, they become friends because of Jesus. And of course, King Herod sends Jesus back to Pilate because Jesus would not do a miracle for King Herod as he requested. Pilate urges Jesus to defend himself, and Jesus is silent. Pilate gave the crowd an opportunity to choose Barabbas or Jesus. They chose Barabbas. And he said, what should I do with this one who's called the Christ? It's Jesus. And Pilate went on to say that he found no crime against Jesus. No, he's kind of heard it from his wife. It's an innocent man. Pilate believes an innocent man, but he sees through all of that that these Jews just really want to kill him. And so, what does Pilate do? He knows that the only thing he can do with the crowd that keeps crying out, crucify him, he pleases the crowd versus trying to please Jesus. Sometimes don't we do that? We do things because what will other people think or what will they say? And so we'll do that because we're more concerned about other people you're being standing by their Jesus. And so Pilate releases Barabbas. He has Jesus flogged, and he hands him over to be crucified. So that's kind of the verdict. He's guilty by both the Jews, and Pilate just says, okay, crucify this guy. But I'll flog him first. That should be enough. You know, but flogging is 39 lashes with a whip. It's got like 9 little tails of leather on it with some metal or glass or different things inside of that braided leather. And they would have the person, and maybe I'll steal thunder from another message that's coming, but they'd make sure that his skin was tight as they would string him up, or they'd lean him over something, and they would, 39 lashes. It's supposed to be 40, but they had mercy. They only did 39. And a lot of guys died. They didn't make it to 39 lashes. So by the time Jesus goes to the cross, he's a bloody mess. A bloody mess. Because it also says that they went and they punched him in the face. And you think he had a bloody nose? More than likely, probably a broken nose. But it says a lot of people just punched him and they spit in his face. Not another nose. So we find in John chapter 3, verse 19, it says this, very interesting. This is the verdict. It says that in John 3:19. The verdict is this, that light has come into the world. Jesus said he is the light of the world. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And we see that taking place right here in this last week, or the last end of the end of the week of what we call the Holy Week. So they did to Jesus. All biblical writers agree that Jesus never committed a sin. Matthew, we find that in 27:24, where Pilate washes his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I find no wrong with this guy, and I'm washing my hands of his blood. It's all on you guys. Pilate believed that Jesus was innocent. But yet he also gave the go-ahead to flog him and to have him crucified. So he's not as innocent as he thinks he is. We find that John, another disciple of Jesus, in 1 John of the epistle, 1 John 3:5 says, in him there is no sin. In Peter, the epistle of Peter, 1 Peter 2:22, it says that he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. The writer of Hebrews, which I believe it's close to being, probably Paul wrote it, we don't know for sure, but the writer of Hebrews says he is tempted in every way, yet without sin. That's in Hebrews 4:15. And the last one we find is the Apostle Paul, because he's kind of after, a few years after his ascension, where he's met on the Damascus Road, where he hears the voice of Jesus saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It was Jesus who met him there on that road. And that's in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where Paul says this, referring to Jesus Christ, as him who had no sin. Paul, who hated Christians and put them in prison and watched some of them be killed. I think he held the garments of Stephen, the first Christian martyr in the book of Acts. And Saul was there, who later became known as Paul. So the verdict that we find is that he's guilty in the eyes of men. Even trying to show you in the scriptures and just saying that everything that Jesus said was true. He was the King of the Jews. He was the Son of God. But yet they would not believe him. They wanted him dead, and they got their wish. So let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word before us. And there may be some things tonight that we've never heard before, and yet there may be some things that hit close to home to our hearts. And what we think, or how we think about Jesus Christ today. But tonight, Lord, we want to just thank you for the gift of salvation. That it's not anything that we do, it's all that God has done for us. It is for us to believe and to receive in what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. It is he who will change us from the inside out and give us a whole new course of life that we've never known before. That brings joy and fulfillment like nothing else ever could. So use what has been said tonight from your word to continue to work in our hearts. Even we go to bed tonight and close our eyes, may we be thinking about how wonderful Jesus was and how could somebody like him take everything on, because no human being could do it. So he had to be God. Only God could do what Jesus did here. And so we just thank you for the love you have for us. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. At any time we come to you, you are there. You will forgive and you will help us to live for you each and every day. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it's the back of your folder. Turn that last page over. We're going to sing God Be With You Till We Meet Again.